Hello.
Welcome back to
Hey, good afternoon, and welcome back to Author Talk. This is Stephanie White, and today we are privileged to have with us Jerome Livingston. He is a nonfiction author. You know, we do fiction, but today we're going to step out into another path. He's wrote two books, and the current one, the latest one would be Redeem Yourself, and then Live in Memories. Welcome, Jerome, and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yes, hi, Stephanie. It's good to be on the show. About myself, I'm an author. I've written two books, Lust of a Dauphine, which is a nonfiction, is my memoir, and Redeem Yourself, which is a self-help book. And I also do speaking as well. Been married about 30 years to a lovely wife who's been very inspirational in my recovery and far as me writing my books as well. And I just try to pass on knowledge basically to the young people, far as certain things they have, far as the prison population, the economics, and the economy, so forth like that. And that's basically what I just try and do. I'm retired today, you know, about 9 months, and just trying to find a new trade.
Okay. All right. So when you wrote your first book, was that when you came out of recovery?
No, I was in recovery when I wrote my first book.
Okay.
That was a book I wrote in. Written a while ago, and that was basically me just sitting down writing about my past, and it was really a cleansing book. So it was like, you know, cleanse my soul basically, you know, because it brought out a lot of dark secrets and a lot of things out of the closet. So in sobriety, I wrote that book, and it was pretty successful.
Okay. So you did that one, and then you wrote your Redeem Yourself. And now,
yes,
what about Redeem Yourself? Tell us a little bit about Redeem Yourself.
Redeem Yourself is a book I've written, published a few years back, 2002, and Redeem Yourself to Thy Own Self Be True. It speaks about the, you know, the difficulties as far as youth growing up and the pitfalls that youth face as far as mass incarceration, drugs, economics, you know, and it shows the different traps that society has set up for our youth as far as education, and it tells them about the importance about an education and the different jobs. And it has a breakdown on what jobs are good for us in the future and how you can, if you don't have a diploma, what the best way to get a diploma as far as going to college and, you know, put your year and a half there so you can get associate, which would include a diploma as well, you know, GED. So you kill two birds with one stone for us going to college. And it also lets you know that having a job brings independence. You know, far as, you know, I was a hustler for many years, and I have nothing to show for that but a lot of heartaches. But far as a job, having a job, you know, the cops ain't going to arrest you for going to work. And it brings independence in the sense of you're working every 2 weeks, you're bringing in a salary, and you're independent that way. People will loan you money. You know, you can go to the bank, borrow money, you can get into real estate, you can get into stocks. It shows you how to do legal hustling within the system. You know, just because I changed my life, I haven't stopped hustling. I just don't do a lot of the certain type of hustling I used to do. And it also talks about teenage pregnancies as far as relationships and domestic violence as well, you know, because I was involved with that many years ago, decades ago, with domestic violence. And unfortunately, you know, I'm not proud of that, but I talks about that, you know, because so many of our young people don't recognize the importance and the danger of domestic violence, you know, and how to cope with it and so forth like that. And then it goes into, it speaks about the politician as well, you know, as far as politics, you know, as far as when I was writing this book here, I didn't recognize that something like in 2007 that they had to, in the system, they had to basically approve for us to vote again. And I didn't recognize that we had that, like back in L.B. Johnson's time back in the 60s, where they signed for 25 years to extend their voting. And then when President Reagan, he had to re-sign again for 25 years. And then again in like 2007, and then when, I was looking at this, and I told my wife, I said, I didn't know we had to go through all these here things as far as voting, that it had to be approved and passed in the House. So therefore, you know, if it wasn't passed, 9 times out of 10, Obama might not even been president, you know. So it gives a history about our past, about things that Harriet Tubman did for us, freeing the slaves and what she had to go through. We and a lot of black young kids today don't even realize or recognize that our ancestors were in slavery. And if you don't know about history, history has a way of repeating itself. If you don't know about history, it will repeat itself and come back to bite you. So that's what Redeem Yourself is about. It's a self-help book.
Okay. Because I have a lady coming on next month talking about domestic violence.
Okay. You know, I was in domestic violence as a teenager coming up, and I was involved with that with my children's mother. And my mother, may she rest in peace, she didn't raise me up to abuse a woman or hit them or anything like that. She raised me up to respect them and cherish them. And, you know, when I got sober, I started looking back over my life, certain things that happened in my life, you know, other than my mother dying when I was like 15 and I turned to a life of crime and drugs, you know. I started looking at the thing with my parents. They were, you know, religious people. They came from Christian backgrounds. But I looked at some of the verbal and physical abuse that I seen as a child. And I didn't recognize that this had carried over into my, young adult life, you know. And therefore, I started acting on this here. And when I got sober, I started recognizing this is where that came from. And you're amazed that, you'd be amazed how you can look at certain things in life and recognize, and you say, you know, this is not the way it's supposed to be. This is not the way I was, you know, taught. But yet, though, I went this way. And I thank God that I was able to recognize them things because, I found me a wife and I've been married for 30 years and we don't have any domestic violence among us, you know, even though domestic violence is more considered, it's not just considered physical and verbal abuse, you know, it can be finance and, you know, the way you talk to a person and so forth like that, you know. So it's gotten deeper over the decades as well, you know. And a lot of people don't recognize, especially young folks, is when they break up and stuff, it's like, I'd rather hurt you than to see you leave me or something like that, or I'm not going to let no one else have you and so forth like that. And they need to learn how to walk away from that because, when things hit the fan, it's too late to recognize, oh, I made a mistake and stuff like that, and the judge is sentencing you to, big time and so forth like that. So you say she's coming on your show next week? Hello? Hello?
Okay, Jerome, can you hear me?
I can hear you, yes.
Yeah, I had to dial out and come back in. I had to dial out and come back in.
Jerome, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Okay.
All right. This is crazy. And now it's got echoes. All right. You there? Now it's dropping Jerome. Jerome, I'm here. Something going on with these phones. Because I'm still here. You there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
I don't know what happened for a few minutes.
Oh, it did me the same way. I had to sign off and come back in. All right. So let me.
Okay.
All right. All right. You want to do your speaking. So, have you targeted places that you want to do your public speaking at?
That's something that I'm going to do this year, being that I'm retired. I have more time now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've sold many of my books various places, and now that I have the time, I want to try to get out and speak more now.
Okay. Just
trying to work and network, and, you know, that's like a job in itself, too, and write a book as well, you know. It's like trying to find the time,
mm-hmm.
schedule your time to do things. Well, that's one of the things I want to do. So you said you have someone. You say you have someone coming on next week for domestic violence.
Next month.
Oh, next month. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know when right now. We're waiting on her, so it's like
okay.
We're waiting on her schedule. Yeah, and I'll let you know, and then maybe you can come in, and you and her can give. She can give the female side, maybe you can give the male side. Point of view.
Okay.
So that would work out good. Yeah, next month I got a lot of people coming on, but it's hard being an author because you can only do so much in one day, you know. And people think you can sit down and write. You don't write all the time. You have to promote your own self because, you know, unless you got a lot of money where you can pay somebody to be your publicist. Good luck.
And then they want to kidnap you for 3 months, 6 months, when they can do stuff in the short term. You got to agree to a 6-month term and all that, you know. And then
mm-hmm.
if you don't like them, you're stuck with the contract.
And they know that, too. So that's why they lock you in.
Mm-hmm. So I'm basically doing a lot of the footwork and on the internet and, you know, just trying to contact and network and try to get to events when I can and so forth like that. And it requires a lot of time, you know.
It does. Or
you got to just stick in there and hang in there, you know. You just can't say, I'm not going to do this today or I'm going to just forget about it, you know. You just got – sometimes you get back up and you got to go right back at it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the things that you do for as an author, it can touch other people, you know. So it's educating other people. That's the good thing about it. People learn from your experience and what you've been through in life and so forth, and it encourages them. You know, I know my first book, Lust of a Dope Fiend, one of my cousin's friend was telling him, he was telling him a bunch of problems he was having, and my
mm-hmm.
cousin suggests that he reads my book. So he read the book, Lust of a Dope Fiend, and he said, this guy's been to hell and back. He said, he's still alive. He said, yeah, he's still alive. And he says his friend went and changed his life, went to detox and got sober and started changing his life. That made my day.
Wow.
That really made
that
my
does.
Day.
That's good. I like to hear people, you know, change their life that way. I really do because you don't have to stay where you started or where you fell into. You can always – tomorrow's always another day where you can get up and start again.
Mm-hmm.
So –
And that's the beauty of that, you know, because people will give up on you and push you to the side and step on you and walk over you and say you're all washed up. But you got to find deep within yourself, say, hey, I'm going to change and be determined that you're going to change by any means necessary. And even in your hard days, you know, you got to, like, you know, take the bitter with the sweet, you know, just rub it off your shoulder and just keep on pushing, you know. And that's basically
that's
what
true.
I've done over the years, you know. And I can't let nobody stipulate what I can't do. You know, so, I mean, I've been in the hustling life, the fast life, and I've made plenty of money. I blew a lot of money, you know, and I've lived somewhat a good life. You know, my life ain't been all bad, you know, but I've had my challenges as well, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I remember one time, that I think the second time I had to kick a heroin habit, I kicked a cold turkey and without any medication, and they put me in a straitjacket in a room. And I stayed in that room for about 3 days, no eating or nothing like that in my feces and everything, you know. And I can recall just praying for death, you know, because it was a terrible experience, you know. And I've been through many ordeals, you know, in life, and this was one of them that was really put me to the grind, you know. And when I had decided to make a change in my life and say I'm going to get my life together, it wasn't like a walk in the park. It was like walking on rocks, walking over some rough mountains, you know. And it was a struggle. But it was the determination that I had to say, hey, I'm going to get through this here. And this is what I talk about in Redeem Yourself as well. This way when people coming out of jail or coming out of rehab, and gives them some hope. It lets them know that they can do this and, you know, be able to survive and just try to get up on their feet. You know, I've been homeless. You know, I've been down. And I remember in recovery, I talk about that as well, being homeless. And I remember the landlord says the rent is $300 a month and $300 security. And all I had was $650 in the bank. So I had to decide, am I going to give up this $600 and only have $50? And I went by faith. You know, I says, I'm going to go ahead and do it, you know. And I stepped out on faith, and I did this. And I remember I had to sleep on the floor for a couple of months because I had no furniture and live off of peanut butter sandwiches and tuna fish sandwich. But after 2 or 3 months, I seen things started blossoming. You know, I had a couple of part-time jobs with furniture in the house and stuff. And things started coming together, and it started giving me some self-esteem. And I started gaining some success, you know, became a supervisor, got a job, learned how to do maintenance work, and I just went through trial and error, you know, because I really didn't know that much about maintenance, you know, a few things, but I learned, you know. And these are the things that people need to read when they come out. They need to read about how did this man come over domestic violence.
Right.
You know, I remember my mother-in-law telling me years ago, she says, she asked her daughter, she says, honey, she says, is Jerome a jealous type? She said, I don't think he has a jealous bone in his body. So I said, Mama, every man has a degree of jealousy. I grew up around older men. And I says, one thing, I says, a woman's going to do what she want to do regardless. If she wants to, you know, give a man some, she'll stick it out to people, send it Western Union, she's going to do what she want to do. You can hit her with a chain or whatever, it ain't going to do nothing. I says, but it's how a man maintains his jealousy. I said, I'm not going to listen to someone say, oh, your woman was doing so-and-so if I didn't see it. So I said, you learn through trial and error with these things. You learn how to walk away from certain things. And believe me, you know, I was the type of guy growing up, you know, a man ain't supposed to cry. And, you know, I'm not going to bend, you know, because you bend, you break and stuff like that. But I learned how to compromise. I learned how to bend a little bit without breaking, you know. I'm not right about everything today, you know, so. You learn, you know, I'm one of them type, you know, I haven't been to Howard University or anything like that, but I'm self-taught, you know. I'll sit down and read a self-published book, you know, how you do this, you know, and get on the internet, Google this and Google that, and, you know, look in a dictionary, what's the meaning of this word before I write it down, and you just learn, you know, you learn like that, you know, so that's what I did over the years.
Right.
You know, and then you look at your success you've done in life, you know, people may ask you, how you feel, you know. I'm blessed, you know. I remember I was superintendent of a building. There was 250 units, and I was supervising men, you know. And I remember one of the tenants walked by my office. She said, "Super, how you doing?" I says, "Okay, but I guess you must have seen I was a little stressed." So she says, "Super, let me say this to you. Don't let these tenants stress you out. Remember, you're too blessed to be stressed." And those words were deep. And I still use them same words 20-some years later. I still use the same words. I'm too blessed to be stressed, and I'm highly favored by the best. And, you know, when you believe like that, then you can walk on mountains, you can walk on water. You know, you have that ability, especially when you believe you can just walk by sight, walk by faith and not by sight. You know, you have them abilities to do what you want to do in life. I remember the Doe Foundation, they wanted me to come speak with some men. And the director says, "Jerome, let me ask you this here." She says, "How do you feel about speaking around convicts, murderers, and drug dealers, and this and that and this?" I said, "I feel right at home with them." I says, "I was raised up around them. You know, I've been around them. I'm not strange. Yeah. No strangers to them. You know, I've walked in them shoes, you know." So, you know, I was able to do business with them and so forth like that, and share my experience with others. You know, your experience give other people hope.
You know, that's just like weird that they would ask people that, because, number one, you don't know what that person's been through in life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when she asked you that, she didn't know. Well, this is what I'm trying to say, is she don't know if you've been arrested before, if you've been in prison before. So when we talk to people, we really have to be careful what we say, because we really don't know where that person's been in life.
True.
You know? So we kind of need to watch our what we say to people.
I think it was more on the concept of, you know, just knowing a little bit about my life and wanting me to be, you know, comfortable in the surroundings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, wanting me to, I understand what you're saying, but mm-hmm. I think it was more like they wanted me to be, are you comfortable being in the surrounding?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I guess certain places that you will go out and speak, you know, you have to be, I'm not a chef, so I'm not going to be comfortable talking, being surrounded by people that are into cooking and or stuff like that. You know, if they were talking about real estate or something like that, I can talk about that because I've been a real estate agent before, you know. And, you know, I can hold myself from speaking on that, you know. But if I'm not really into certain things, I can't go and speak on certain things or feel comfortable going into certain surroundings, you know.
That's true.
Yeah, yeah. You know, so like, you know, when you can just go through life and know that you've experienced life and reach a certain age in life and say, "Hey, you know, I've done about it all," and stuff like that, you know. I was talking to my lady friend one time, you know, we've been friends about 30 years, and I was saying, you know, we're blessed to be the age that we are. And she said, "What do you mean by that?" I said, "Look at all these young people dying and getting killed and don't know which way is up." I said, "We're still able to pay our rent and put food on the table and stuff like that." I said, "That's why I say we're blessed."
That's true.
You know, just like it's just like a business person. A business person, they become business successful, millionaires, and once they come to that point, they got to still learn how to hold on to them things.
Yeah.
So that's the same thing with us. We got to continue to know how to survive, know how to adapt. Well, you know, as soon as you learn the game, they change the game, you know. As soon as you learn how the systems work, and next thing you know, they come with different rules. So you got to be able to be flexible in order to stay afloat.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
You really do. You see, I don't get upset because, like, I interview people that's in prison right now.
Okay.
Okay, I got an author that I really enjoy interviewing him, and he is never getting out of jail, ever.
Mm.
But he writes really good books.
Mm-hmm.
So he has a good following, and we do good. He speaks very intellectual.
Okay.
It's a shame that he won't be out because of his, you know, his brain.
The circumstances.
But, you know, when we do certain things, that's why we get locked up.
And now it's becoming a repetitious thing where they're locking up people more so than ever before. And if you know, when I was writing the second book, you know, it was so much that the prison foundation, what they do, you know, and here I was under the belief that jobs were leaving the city because of taxes and the things. But when I started reading this here, like people doing Victoria's Secret or making partial plates or making mattresses and doing, you know, well, I knew they were doing license plates, but prison does so many different things. And that's where the slave market is. I remember I told some kids once before, I said, you know, the new slave plantation is going to be different. And they said, oh, I'm not going to the farm and picking cotton. I said, no, that's not going to be it. It's going to be your prisons. Before you had federal, state, and city prisons. Now you got private industry. And they use it they use it to make money. They can tell from children, giving children's tests at 4 years old, I mean the fourth grade, and tell how many prisons need to be built in the future. Ain't that something? Not to see how smart that child is, but to see how many prisons they got to build in the future.
That's true.
And they're making things so hard and designed, like they have these HDH things that they want to give the children. Children don't need that. Or these here so-called reefers that they're doing and stuff. All that stuff leads to drugs. It messes them up. You know, it messes them up. And I speak about that all in my book, you know, because I don't agree with it. You know, our children today, they're so, you know, they're precious children, but they're not treated like that. You know, you go to the prison, you go to the schools, and they're not given the necessary education that they are required to have. You know, education has really turned so bad. And when they took the prayers out of prison, when they stopped letting them pray in prison, prayers out of the schools, that's when you start allowing a lot of things to happen in the schools as far as them coming and shooting and just doing some everything. You know, kids breaking wild. You know, you don't have parents raising their children because of back in my time it was BCW, but now it's ACS or something like that now. And I remember I got involved with my oldest son. And he comes to my house and he wants to play like he was James Cagney or somebody like that. And I let him know I was going to be Humphrey Bogart and we'd both go to war in here. But when that gentleman left, he had a different awakening through our conversation. And he was very enlightening through the conversation. I said, you know, it's a trade that you have right today with this here BCW and parents can't raise their children. I said, it's a trade just like a plumbing or electrician trade that they give you. And I said, what it does, it puts a chain on the parents where they can't say what they want to say to their kids because they got to be careful how they say things and chastise their kids and so forth like that. I remember I got into a dispute with a young lady years ago, and I wind up getting on her show.
We're coming to the end of the show. Now, I want you back, and I'll send you an email. Is that how I can get in contact? How can I get in contact with you, on email or Facebook?
You can get in contact with me email or through my you can get in contact with my cell, 917-509-8274.
Email me your number.
Okay, I'll do that. I'll do that.
Okay.
And also, I'd like to send you my books as well. Send you a copy of my book.
Okay, I appreciate that. So
okay.
I will talk to you, and like I said, I got to edit this, and then I'll put it in your box. All right,
thank you
for coming, and we'll see you soon. Okay.
Thank you. Take care now.
Good night,
bye-bye now.
Everybody.
Good night.